This is a CBC podcast.
CBC podcasts are supported by the all-new 2008 Cadillac CTS. When you turn your car on, does it return the favor? Visit newcadillac.gm.ca.
Hello, I'm Anna Maria Tremonti, and this is The Current. Gift cards have become a huge part of our Christmas giving. They are the modern version of the old-fashioned gift certificate, and the allure of the plastic is grabbing millions of Canadians. But there are some cold, hard realities to these substitutes for cash, and here to tell us more is CBC reporter Adrian Lamb in Edmonton. Good morning.
Good morning, Anna Maria.
So how big is this trend of gift cards?
It's big. It's really big. Last year, Canadians spent a whopping $1.25 billion on gift cards. 90% of large Canadian retailers selling gift cards this holiday season. That's up from just 53% only 4 years ago. This product has just exploded onto the market. Gift cards and the money they represent, single biggest shift in retail we've seen in years, and the trend is showing no signs of slowing down.
So what's behind the gift card frenzy?
Well, retailers love them. I mean, this is another way to encourage consumers to drop some cash, right? They like it because they're often spending more than the original face value of the cards, in many cases nearly twice as much.
Really?
The cards can drive new customers through the door, right? You get a gift card to a place you wouldn't normally shop. It gives you an excuse to go in. Another time saver for store clerks, it makes for shorter lineups at the exchange counter post-Christmas. So you're not returning those pants that were four sizes too big from your Aunt Gert. Another biggie for retailers, they can track you. The fact they can electronically track you allows the companies to follow the money and develop marketing strategies based on what you're buying.
So for the shopper who likes to give gift cards, how much money are they spending?
On average, $150 to $200, and they'd be spending them on a bunch of gift cards, so $25 here, $50 there. You're actually spending more if you're over 45, indicating those with more disposable income spend more. And of course, the upside is they're simple. They're quick. I mean, in this time-starved frenzy that is the pre-Christmas rush, they're the magic bullet for some folks. The gift giver gets off easy, and the gift getter gets to choose, so you don't end up with 28 pairs of slippers.
Nobody wants 28 pairs of slippers, okay. But I can tell from your tone of voice that there's a but in here.
Indeed, there's a big but, and many of the shoppers I spoke with had that but. Stories about the downside of gift cards.
I had one once that it was actually for a fast food chain, and I went to use it, and because the store I went to was franchised, they wouldn't take it.
And I went to cash it, and the value wasn't on the card, and I dealt with the store, but whoever gave it to me never had the receipt, so the store didn't honor the card. So I was kind of disappointed and actually quite angry.
Sometimes they're useful if it's a place that you actually go to and use them. I know that I have several at home in a drawer that I haven't used, even for restaurants.
The biggest problem we have with them is you give out gift cards to people and they forget about them. They don't use them. I figure there's millions of dollars out there just in plastic that nobody's ever used.
The big one I totally disagree with is any kind of expiry date. I think that's awful because it's essentially cash. It shouldn't expire. I think that's morally wrong.
Oh, lots of complaints there. How common are these?
Very. And that's because of all of that fine print. And when I say fine, Anna Maria, I mean really, really fine. I mean, it's really, really tiny. But I have my trusty magnifying glass here and a whole stack of these cards. And the big condition that appears over and over on these cards, from the hardware store to the clothing store to the gift cards to buy groceries, is the expiry date. Anywhere from a year to 2 or 3 years. And as the name suggests, if you don't use it, you lose it. The value of the card disappears.
2 to 3 years, surely most people can get to the store by then, though. But what other conditions would there be?
Well, I mean, and again, it varies from card to card, but I've got one here from A&W. It says on the back, it may only be used at participating restaurants in Edmonton, Lethbridge, and Ottawa. So don't give it to your kid who's going to the U of T for late night snacking, because they won't honor it.
Don't give it to somebody in Calgary either.
No. I've got another one here. This one's for $20 worth of iTunes music downloads. But the fine print says you've got to be over 13 and in Canada to open an account. So if you're shipping it to that tween nephew in Texas, he's out of luck.
So the problem is related to all these conditions that are attached. Now, one of the shoppers we heard just a minute ago made the argument that they should be more like cash, huh?
Yes, and some are and some are not so much. Let me give you another example. On the back of this card, it's actually an activation fee. This card in front of me here is from MasterCard. It's worth $25, but there's a $3.95 activation fee. other companies are charging dormancy fees.
So what would a dormancy fee be?
Well, that's when you get a card. Granny ships it from the East Coast. It's worth $100. But you don't get around to shopping with it for, say, 4 months. When you do take the card to the store with your purchases up to the counter to pay, you discover it's only worth $80.
Well, why? Where did the other $20 go?
The company has actually taken off a monthly fee to cover administration costs, essentially eating away at the value of the card. So part of Granny's hard-earned gift has been lost. And then there's the drawer factor.
Oh, hey, let me guess. You put it in a drawer and you forget you have it, right?
That's right. Any of those at home?
Maybe a few, yeah.
So again, you do get one of these cards and you say Merry Christmas, thank you very much, and then it just sits in the old junk drawer until it's worthless. Or you use part of it, but you don't get around to using all of it, and it does expire. The Retail Council of Canada estimates that the drawer factor is worth $64 million last year alone.
$64 million right. worth of gifts in the cards, mm-hmm. in the drawers?
Yeah, and the numbers from the States are mind-blowing. We've got consumer reports that say the drawer factor there is worth $8 billion.
Ouch.
So, I mean, a lot of this stuff sitting in those drawers. And I talked to Derek Nyborn about this. He's the vice president of the Retail Council of Canada. They represent about 40,000 stores, big and small, from coast to coast. He says the drawer factor, or breakage, as he calls it, is actually getting better.
I would say at the beginning, or when we started with gift cards, the breakage percentage or the percentage that would have not been used would have been in the 10 or 11% range. In chatting with our members across the country now, we're seeing figures more in the 3 to 5% range. And quite often, you know, retailers don't carry out these finance programs on their own. They tend to contract out to third-party suppliers who will set them up. So in a lot of cases, it's not the retailer who gets the money if there is any that's unclaimed. It would be the third-party service provider.
So whether it's a company contracted by the retailer or the store itself, really in the end, the consumer is the one who's out to the tune of $63 million, right?
Exactly.
And so what does the council say about that?
Well, Derek Nyborn understands the frustrations people have with the cards, but he does defend the need to have some terms and conditions. He says there's a cost to businesses who are offering these gift cards and that cost needs to be recouped.
It costs to set up the technology, it costs to print the cards, it costs money to maintain the records. And one of the other issues around expiry dates was the issue of accounting. How long can we as retailers carry this information forward on our balance sheets? And also, you know, what are the back office implications of maintaining these records forever and ever? And if I'm a retailer who has a gift card now, and if 5 years from now I change my full point of sale technology, you know, how might I ensure that I'm still able to read that card?
And Derek Nyborn says because gift cards have exploded onto the scene in the last 4 years, he says they're still feeling their way through this new product.
Well, yeah, but some people would ask why we, the consumer, should have to pay for that learning curve.
Nyborn says it's business, and no one's putting a gun to people's head to buy these things. Bottom line, you're paying for the convenience of using a gift card.
Okay, so we should read the fine print, get out the magnifying glass, I guess. Now, Adrian, any other concerns beyond these conditions, other concerns that we should know about?
Well, as if the fine print wasn't enough, right? There's a new fraud showing up when it comes to gift cards.
What is it?
Well, here's how it works. You know those power walls, the big displays you see in grocery stores and convenience stores where you can buy dozens and dozens of cards for all manner of businesses? I'm told crooks have found an innovative way to scam people. Owen Kenny's with the Alberta Government Consumer Affairs Department. Here's what he's told me about that.
You know, taking them out of the wall, writing down all the information that they can get off the packaging, putting them back on the wall, and then making regular calls to the companies issuing these cards. Is there a balance? Is there a balance? The minute they see that there's been activity on the card, they know the card's in use, and then shopping with your card online. And you won't know about it until you go to use the card and they'll tell you, I'm afraid it's empty.
Oh, great. So somebody who doesn't give or get the card gets to use it. What's being done to stop that one?
Well, some retailers are getting wise and they're covering up a lot of those numbers with the packaging or with security strips that you have to scratch off to expose those numbers. Surveillance cameras now trained on these displays to kind of nab those folks in the act, and warnings going out from organizations like the Better Business Bureau here in Edmonton.
You know, that's the first I've heard about it, though. Is anything else going on to protect the consumer?
Well, you know, in Ontario and in Manitoba, they've eliminated things like expiry dates already. Here in Alberta and in BC, they're working on it. Owen Kenny says they're crafting a piece of legislation now that could be in place as early as the spring to protect consumers.
And in the meantime, it's consumer beware.
It is. It really is. I know, as if you didn't have enough to worry about right now at this time of year, but you really do. You have to protect that card like it's cash to avoid the fraud. Read that fine print, asking the cashier before you buy about those not-so-obvious activation and dormancy fees we talked about, and then pass all that information along with the receipt to the person you're buying for. Because the last thing you want to do is give this gift and have it turn into a headache.
That's right. You can wrap up aggravation in other ways, I guess. So, Adrian, we've been warned. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Adrian Lamb is a CBC reporter in Edmonton. This is The Current on CBC Radio 1 and on Sirius Satellite Radio 137. I'm Anna Maria Tremonti. Well, buyer beware sounds like good advice if you're going to buy gift cards this holiday season. But Bruce Cran goes a step further. He says don't buy them at all. Bruce Cran is the president of the Consumers Association of Canada, and he's in Vancouver. Good morning.
Good morning, Anna Maria.
Don't buy them at all?
Don't touch them with a 40-foot pole. We've been saying that for quite some time. The Government of Canada issues quite good gift cards, and you can use them anywhere, anytime. It's called currency.
So why such strong advice?
Well, this is a pretty bad deal. I listened with great interest to Adrian's report, and there's a couple of things that I pick out of it immediately. I think that the retailers are depreciating both the amount of cards not used and also the percentages. I like the American one. They say they can't translate the American report into Canada, but we feel you can. And I think the loss of gift cards is much, much higher than they were indicating there, both percentage-wise and in dollar volume.
Would be staggering then.
Well, it is staggering.
Yeah, because they're already pretty high.
Well, Americans are $1 billion a year. And I think that, well, sorry, $8 billion a year.
Yeah, and she was saying $64 million in Canada.
And I don't believe that.
You think it's too low?
Oh, yes.
Well, what
yes.
kind of complaints are you getting in your offices across the country about gift cards?
Well, we're getting all sorts of things. With new legislation, it's new, and I suppose it's being broken into a degree. There's some flaws in the legislation that has been put in Ontario that is coming to light. People are dredging their drawers for older cards all of a sudden, probably because of the publicity. There's confusion whether older cards with expiry dates can be used at the moment. That's one thing. Cash for small residual amounts is something that people are telling us they have difficulty dealing with. That's when you use your card for $50 and you buy $40 worth of stuff, leaving a $10 residue.
What happens to that?
Well, you should be able to use it if you can, but you can't, you know, the stores are in the main trying to encourage you to buy another $40 worth of stuff and put another $30 in. There's a difference in the approach of the store and what consumers want, you know.
So in other words, you can't go back. Say you get a $50 gift card, you buy something for $30. You can't go back a couple days later and buy something else?
Well, you could, but you've got to get rid of it somehow. But people often forget it, and that's on top of the cards that aren't used.
Mm.
There's residuals. As far as I know, there's been no counting on that. I know the American study didn't provide a figure for that. I had an example last Friday. A lady had a $100 gift card. She's doing well, right? $86, $14 left, nothing to buy in the store under $80. In the end, I kind of helped her out. We decided to buy shoelaces, which she did. But you've got to think about all those things.
$14 shoelaces.
$40 worth of shoelaces. I don't know how many that was, but I guess she's not going to have much trouble with the shoelaces for some time to come.
Hmm.
What else have they got here? The due date thing has been sort of confounded in Ontario by exemptions being made, and people do not understand that there are some exemptions.
Well, before you go further, then, let me play a clip, and maybe you can talk about that then, because the Ontario and Manitoba governments have new legislation to cut down on some of the problems, and the Consumers Association, your Consumers Association, helped draft some of those rules. This is Greg Dennis with Ontario's Ministry of Government and Consumer Services.
When there is a complaint, the government, our government officials, will contact the retailer just to find out what the complaint is about, then we'll suggest ways that they can rectify the situation themselves. In all cases that we know of right now, that has been exactly what has happened. Our ministry now has a telephone hotline for the reporting of non-compliant retailers. Should it be determined that the retailer is caught breaking the law, they can be fined up to $50,000. corporations caught breaking the law can be fined up to $250,000. You know, it's not difficult to enforce because almost all retailers are being compliant on it.
Well, that's Greg Dennis with the Ontario Ministry of Government and Consumer Services. Bruce Cran, what do you think?
Not what we're hearing. We don't handle individual complaints as an organization anymore. At one time we did. But we do get information through, and we're getting quite a lot. We're getting people telling us they can't get through to that hotline set up. And when they do, in some cases they're talking about $7 or $8. Well, it doesn't seem to me that they're getting much sympathy. And it is difficult for the ministry to deal with little pieces like that. Legislation is sort of a living thing, especially when it begins. And I think there's a lot of faults coming to the fore in that legislation that weren't taken care of at the time. And the Consumers Association was involved in drafting that thing. I think we were asleep on some issues because we just didn't realize they would be a problem. But you can imagine that if people are ringing up complaining about, you know, $7 or $8, $15, $20, they're not going to get, it's not something that's going to attract a $50,000 fine. And I think the retailers at the moment seem to be pushing their own version of the rules to the limit.
Okay, well, something to remember in all of that, and you're right, it comes into relatively small amounts, and so it kind of gets lost. So you're saying give the other Government of Canada card, the one with the one that they make at the mint.
Yes, we are. It's by far the best proposition. And don't forget, every card, we're taking the American figures. I like them a lot better, and I know where they came from. An independent source, totally. 27% of cards are never used. And I was rooting around in my drawers the other day, and I found a couple I had there that...
Uh-huh. You got to practice what you preach, I guess, huh?
Well, I know.
Well, we'll leave it there, Bruce Cran. There is New Year's coming. There's always resolution time.
Thanks, Anna Marie.
Thank
always
you.
Nice to be on the current. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bruce Cran is the president of the Consumers Association of Canada, and he was in Vancouver. Well, with gift cards becoming such a hot holiday item, the nature of giving and receiving is actually changing. Dan Horn is tracking that change. He's an associate professor of marketing at Providence College in Rhode Island, and gift cards are part of his area of expertise and research. In October, he actually conducted a study looking at the behavior of Canadian consumers when it comes to gift cards. That was sponsored by a technology company called Incom, which helps companies sell their gift cards in stores other than their own. Now, Dan Horn is in Sarasota, Florida this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Anna Maria.
Well, what did you find out about our consumer habits and our appetite for gift cards?
Well, it's certainly growing. I mean, the Canadian consumer is kind of catching up with the American consumer in understanding what the benefits of gift cards are and of course, some of the pitfalls as well. And I think we're going to continue to see at least the October study showed that Canadians were going to buy more gift cards in the coming year.
So what percentage sees them as better than cash or other kinds of gifts?
Well, yes, a very surprising thing to me because as a part economist, I look at it and I say, like Bruce just alluded to, cash is better. But if you look at the actual statistics that people say, you have a third of Canadians who say, no, gift cards are better than cash. Now, you shouldn't have anybody say that. You should say, geez, cash is the universal thing. But when you look at a gift card, what you find is that people are giving them because they're communicating a message. It doesn't communicate a very good message if you pull $20 out of your wallet and you go, here, knock yourself out, get something nice.
So what message are you communicating when you spend 20 bucks on a gift card and say, knock yourself out?
I'm going to give you a card to say the Bay, because I want you to have both two things. I want you to go to the Bay and maybe have a nice, buy a sweater or buy something that you would like, and it's going to match up to your preferences. Plus, I'm giving you an opportunity to go out into the retail environment and shop, which is, a favorite pastime of Canadians. They're going to, just being out there and being able to purchase something in almost a guilt-free way. If I give you cash, you're going to stick it in with your household bills. You're going to pay the babysitter. You're going to pay for gasoline. You're going to pay for groceries. And that gift gets frittered away. If it's earmarked, in the case of a gift card, towards something special for you, it's going to create a gift that's going to have a long-lasting memory.
Interesting. So I want to ask a little more about the guilt-free thing. Then what about what people actually choose to buy? So you get a gift card for $50 and you end up buying something for $150.
Well, And people do that, and that's one of the reasons why when I listen to the things about, oh, the retailers want this because it's free money, retailers want people to come into the stores. They don't. They love the idea of people walking in with money to spend. There's this thing called found money syndrome, and if I'm walking into, not that I've ever been in a bar, but if I were walking into a bar and I found $50 as I walked in, I'm going to be a lot more free with that money. And that's the same
and that's what
thing.
A gift card does.
It does. People walk in and they say, geez, you know, I'm going to buy something really special because I have this $50 card, and you know, I've always wanted this, and I wouldn't buy it for myself. But, you know, with the $50 card, I'm going to buy something a little more special. And what I find is that people do. They upgrade. They buy a little nicer than they normally would, or they get something that they never would have purchased before.
So what did your study show? What how much more in percentages do people spend?
On average, and this is something, you know, I've tracked this in the States and in Europe and since the early 90s, and it averages out about 140% of face value. So a $100 card is going to come in on average at $140. That's going to depend on the type of retailer, of course. If you're at a very high-end retailer, it's probably more like 200%. And if you're at something, a grocery store, Dominion or something, it's going to be closer to 110%.
So in other words, by selling the cards, they're actually selling more if you use them because there's that drawer factor again.
Yeah, well, the drawer factor and the statistics that are getting thrown around are kind of silly. If you want to look at how many don't get redeemed, you look at the actual transaction data, which is the, you know, when the card gets swiped, they have that accounting. Mm-hmm. And what it shows is most major retailers are at about 5%, and that, you know, you have some flawed studies out there that show it much higher than that. In fact,
So you think it's lower?
Oh, it's much lower. I know it's much lower.
Like what? So it's not $8 billion U.S.?
What? Oh, that number is ridiculous. That's a completely flawed study. It's a study of only adult, upscale adult consumers as opposed to, you know, if I give an adult a gift card, somebody who makes a good amount of money, that card comes in very slowly. If I give a younger person that money who has fewer resources, they're lined up on Boxing Day.
Yeah, give it to a teenager. They'll use it right away. Yeah,
8:30 in the morning. That's the only day they're up at 8:30.
So what is your what does the consumer tracking information show you? What kind of consumer habits do gift buyers have then?
Well,
like, who are they?
The one of the key things we see is the difference between younger people and older people, because younger people use these things almost right away. All the cards basically are in by the end of January. In fact, every year with my students, I do a poll on how many gift cards they got and how many do they have left. And none of them, you know, by the 15th of January have anything left because they're just so short. And they buy themselves the things that, you know, the people who gave them the cards would never think of. If one of the real advantages of gift cards is where I don't have a lot of knowledge of the recipient, so, you know, Grand buys it for the grandkids because she can't follow these trends. She has no idea what they have in terms of music or what they like in terms of music or clothes or anything, and she doesn't want to get involved in that. So it really solves a problem for her. And the kids go in and they get exactly what they want.
And do they identify what they buy then with the person who gave them the gift card?
Oh yeah, it's called a memory trace, and that's what's so neat about if you buy something tangible that's kind of special, you do tie it to that person. And so if I give you a $100 gift card, you buy something $150, as a giver, I just made out because I've got something really nice that you're always going to remember.
So, but are we becoming less creative when it comes to gift giving if we're handing over those little pieces of plastic?
Oh, sure, and it is not for everybody. But think about all the different gifting relationships you're in. And some of them...
Well, maybe we're in too many.
Yeah, well, definitely we are. But, you know, think about that, I've got a milkman. I've never seen him. He comes 4:30 in the morning. I hope never to see him. But I still want to acknowledge that he's given great service for the year. So I'm going to give him a gift card. I hope he's not listening. I'm going to give him a gift card
He's looking forward to it.
Like a Tim Hortons gift card. So
right.
He'd have that, and, you know, he can remember that. And
Dan Horn, we have to leave it there, but it's interesting to hear the other side of that. Thank you very much.
All right. Great, Anna Maria. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Dan Horn is an associate professor of marketing at Providence College in Rhode Island. He was in Sarasota, Florida. Well, that's all we have for this podcast. You can listen to The Current weekday mornings on CBC Radio 1 right after the 8:30 news, as well as on Sirius Satellite Radio 137. To find out more about our program, visit cbc.ca/thecurrent. If you have any thoughts on what you're hearing on The Current, share them with us. Send us your comments. You can email us at thecurrent, all one word, thecurrent@cbc.ca. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 500, Station A, Toronto, M5W1E6. Or call us collect 1-877-287-7366. To subscribe to other great CBC Radio podcasts, check out cbc.ca/podcasting. Thanks for listening. I'm Anna Maria Tremonti.
For more on all of our CBC podcasts, head to cbc.ca/podcasting.